Welcome to American Players Theater Portable Prologues. I'm Buzz Kemper of Audio for the Arts, and I invite you to enrich your Play in the Woods experience by joining Oren Schroeder as she speaks with director Laura Rook and actor Marcus Trushinsky about APT's 2023 production of Once Upon a Bridge by Sonia Kelly.
I'm delighted to have Laura and Marcus with me today to talk about Once Upon a Bridge, which is Laura's directorial debut at APT. And many of us know her for many past seasons as an actor, so we're excited to see what she brings to this new role. Once Upon a Bridge was written in 2021 by an Irish playwright and actress, Sonia Kelly, and it was commissioned by the Druid Theatre in Ireland. So it has Irish roots that are always, in my mind, promising. It's been called a tale for a modern age, and it only has three characters, and they don't have names. So Marcus is playing a man, and there are three strangers whose lives collide on Putney Bridge one morning, and the play takes place in, I think, a pretty limited amount of time. Is it a 24-hour or even less period of time?
The action of the play takes place kind of in a day, but we do, there's a few months of a span where you see kind of the before and after effects. And there's a little bit of flashback. So there's a little padding on both sides of that day, I would say.
Yeah. And as your first time as a director at APT, how do you feel about doing this play?
I feel great about doing this play. I am very grateful that I don't feel like I got thrown all the way into the deep end without a life preserver on, you know, something much larger or, you know, with a big cast and a huge set. You know, there are no easy plays. I do believe in that, but I feel very grateful that, it's a 90-minute play with three people and no props, and we can just really focus on the scene work and the language and the characters and the acting. And I don't feel like I have to have all of these skills yet to know, you know, where everything goes or what I want visually for this moment. Or so I'm very grateful for that.
And does it help to be working with colleagues that you've worked with as an actor?
Yes, so much. So very much. I feel very held and grateful that there are three actors that I know very well that I've all worked with before, and that I'm at my artistic home, and that I have all of the resources and mentorship in the world available to me. And also, I know a lot of my design team really, really well, and I've worked with them a lot. And so that's really, really a huge, huge gift.
So Marcus, I wanted to talk to you about what it's like to play a character called the Man. How do you develop that role and that person?
It's kind of wonderful because you get to use your imagination to create not only who the person is, what their name is, what their backstory is, what their life is before the play, and kind of sometimes even making up what the story is after the conclusion of the play. It's wonderful because we're also kind of representative of our sex in this modern story. I mean, there are also things about this play is brand new. It's the American premiere of this play, and so in some ways. It can be nerve-wracking because you have the responsibility of creating this character, but you also have a lot of freedom. You're not relying on anybody else or anything else. You're just relying on the work that's happening in the room in this moment now. And I feel like that's totally what this play and what this character's arc is about.
And none of us will have seen another production. So it's, as you say, it's new to us. Is the playwright following what you're doing? She's not coming from Ireland, I assume, but it must be exciting for her to have her American premiere.
Yeah, I haven't heard any whispers of that happening.
If there are,
she's more than welcome.
Don't tell me.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Are you using Irish accents?
One character, yes, is Irish. The character of a woman is, she's got Irish roots. But a man is British and the bus driver is, in our play, Nigerian. There are indications in the script that he is emigrated from somewhere. And so that's the accent and dialect that we landed on.
And what do you know about the playwright? Is there anything you can tell us about her, what she's written?
I don't know a ton. I mean, I know she's an actor and a playwright and has worked with Druid for a long time. I think, I mean, just based on this play, and I did look at another play that she wrote, How to Keep an Alien. That's mostly the story of her and her partner, which is very funny and very sweet. But I think she's got a lot of storytelling skills, and I imagine her work as an actor has only helped to hone that, and her appreciation and love of language really, really comes through in this play.
So how did this play land on the APT stage, just out of curiosity? I mean, because it's so new, who found it and how does that work?
Brenda and Jimmy found it. It was during the pandemic, they broadcast it over Zoom. So it was commissioned, I think, for the stage. And then they, like all of us, had to quickly move towards a virtual type of storytelling. And they saw it. I'm not sure how it came across their radar that they were broadcasting it, but Brenda and Jimmy saw it and were so moved by it and thought it was so wonderful and beautiful. And Brenda really wanted to produce it. And so last year she asked me to read it, and here we are.
Had you mentioned that you wanted to start directing? Is that part of the conversation?
Yeah. So in 2019, I asked if I could start assisting because, you know, the way that seasons break down here, sometimes it's you're playing three roles or you're playing, you know, usually two pretty big roles and then a maid or a butler or, you know, something a little smaller. Or sometimes you're just doing two or sometimes you're doing one and a half. And that particular season, there were two roles at the beginning of the season. And then in the second half, she was talking to me about my season and was like, there's not a ton for you to do in the second half. And then I asked if I could assist and direct rather than act. And she was very supportive of that. So I did that in 2019. And then I assisted in Chicago. And then last year I asked if I could assist again as well, just based on how the season was breaking down. So yeah, she knew I've been interested in. And last year, assisting her on Love's Labors really gave us more of a collaborative relationship. And she approached me and was like, I think you're really ready. I think you're ready to do this. And do you want to? And I said yes.
Great. Marcus, can you talk a little bit about how the play reflects destiny and chance, at least as far as your character?
Yeah. It is kind of a fight between the two. It's like, do we have the choices? Are we making the choices according to changing what our future is going to be? Or are we all destined to do what we are going to do? And in some ways, it's like those great... I know there's such a connection between Irish playwrights, you know, throughout time with the Greeks and the Greek tragedies and the journeys like Ulysses' journey. And for these people, I feel like it's like this play is very much about the what ifs. What if we had made a different choice? What if we had only thought about something for a moment, taking a step back instead of leaping into these choices that we make and then suffering the consequences. What if we had taken a breath and actually thought about the choices? And I think that is a big part of his journey. It's, yeah, there's this thing that's on the back of our play script, which I love, and basically what you said, but it was like, weaves a tale of human triumph and frailty about the power of destiny and chance, and why sometimes we fly to rage and other times we dance. And I feel like it really kind of sums up what the play is about, and beautifully and succinctly.
And what will we see on stage in terms of sets and costumes?
The set is very beautifully simple. It's three spheres and a bridge that goes across the back of the set. And the three spheres are very, they're painted as if to look like water and the flow of water underneath this bridge that stretches out into the audience, into the space. And it's very simple in its design, but very elegant. And our costumes are very modern and practical, and serve our characters. And there are no props. There's not anything but us, the language, and the flow of the story.
And when you talk about the flow of the story, I read that the script has been described as flowing monologues. Is there more of that than dialogue?
Yes, sure. Definitely.
Yeah.
It is interweaving monologues, but mostly singular.
And it feels so cohesive as a piece. I mean, it reminds me of some great Shakespeare plays where the poetry kind of weaves in and out. And Love's Labors is actually a lot like this, where, you know, a character will introduce an idea or a thought or some image, and then four pages later, somebody else has picked that up. Yeah, they're all flowing is a great way to describe it, because they do kind of weave in and out of each other in a really beautiful way.
Yeah, it is very, you know, very kind of like very Irish playwriting, like Brian Friel or Conor McPherson, where the difference with this one is the monologues don't come in like really in prose. They come in very, very short lined poetry. And the other difference is I feel like the language, in their own personal monologues in those plays, the connections come off stage, or while they're on stage, while that singular person is on stage, and the connections come in the audience's mind and imagination, and they have to make the connection. But our three characters are on this collision course, and the narrative kind of weaves together to a point where all of a sudden we all have to be together and overlapping and intersecting with each other. And the aftermath of that. And yeah, it's interesting because it's like three one-person plays where you're charging towards each other in a way. And then in that moment, when you come together, you have to be together on stage because it becomes the present.
Amazing. Is it important to know that it was inspired by a real event?
I don't know. I would say coming in without knowing too much is good. I think don't ruin any surprises or spoil yourself by getting bogged down with the real life story of it, because you'll get enough of it in the play. But I think the play stands on its own really well without it.
Certainly going to be one of those plays where you do the research and look up the real event afterwards, which I think is probably a better experience.
And it sounds like the language is very poetic, and yet the writer, the playwright, is not a poet.
Yeah.
I almost wonder whether poetry comes kind of naturally to the Irish. I mean, in their use of language is a little different than ours, even though I guess it's the same language at root.
And it has rhythm to it and rhyme and in this, yeah, really fun way. David Grieg writes like this too. Prudencia, The Strange Undoing of Prudencia Hart is a play Nate and I both really love. And this reminds me a lot of that too, in terms of the folklore kind of feeling, and even though it is so modern.
And it has been called a tale for a modern age. Do you think that it will be a classic? I know APT wants to help sponsor the classics of the future as one of their goals.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it certainly does have like that kind of folklore kind of storytelling to it. In some ways it has, yeah, it's like the short rhymes of, not to disparage what kind of, like it's like Humpty Dumpty. We get all of the story in those short rhyming lines. And you can make up the imagination leaps into, oh God, I can see the egg. I can see him standing on the wall. I can see him fall and crack into a million pieces. And it's because of the simplicity of the rhyme, like in song, that we mm-hmm. can use our imaginations to make up the entire world of what that is. And this is kind of like that, but more elegant.
Yeah.
Wow. Wow.
More elegant and also, yeah. I mean, it's a great question, Orange, because to think about it becoming a classic, I go, oh gosh, maybe. I mean, is a play about a viral video going to be our next piece of classical theater? It could be years and years from now. You know, right now it feels so like gross and contemporary and like, ew, technology, but there is something that we keep discovering in the rehearsal room too, that's kind of mystical and magical about the internet, satellite technology. Like it feels bigger than us sometimes and in a mythical way, almost.
A friend of mine was talking about AI, how AI technology has really taken over a lot of like ChatGPT and image creation, and how we can overlap video with AI by just talking to your phone and to giving it a prompt as to what we want the image to look like. And he said, but the beauty of that in some ways is that stuff is moving so quickly and so fast, and people are using that technology all of the time, but there's something that you can't replace, and that is live performance, live theater. You can't, I don't want to use the word cheat your way through that, but all you have is the person in front of you and the words that they're saying. And there is no AI generated thing that we've created yet, certainly, where you can replace that. And so in some ways, it gives it all that much more importance to see what's happening in front of you live now.
And that's certainly why we love seeing live theater at APT, and we're so privileged to have the level of performance and the scope of theater that APT now brings us. So thank you both very much. We're looking forward to Once Upon a Bridge coming into the Touchstone very soon.
Thanks.
Thanks so much.
Portable Prologues is a co-presentation of American Players Theater, Orange Tree Imports, and Audio for the Arts Recording Studio. Our sincere thanks to the actors and directors who spoke with us, as well as to Sarah Young, Hannah Jo Anderson, and everyone at APT. Your host is Orange Schroeder. Our theme song is Play in the Woods, an original composition written by me for use in these podcasts. I'm Buzz Kemper. Thank you for listening.